All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 3 in this ancient history program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are returning to our introduction to the year here with a little bit of a different spin on the theme here. We've been talking about where you are, and now we're going to answer that in the simplest sounding way, but again, we're going to start looking at it as a history question. So the title of today's lecture is You Are Here. And we're going to see that this is the most important thing to remember when studying history. I don't think it's possible to exaggerate that. I think that it is the most important thing to remember when studying the past. So we're going to talk today about what that is and why that is and learn how to do it. So we're going to start talking about history for the first time here, and we'll see what this means. So, remember, our theme about where am I, lately we've been looking at how through education, that's the best word for it. Sometimes we just use words like schooling or homeschooling because we are proud of doing that particular method of schooling. But the most important word for what we are doing when we study these various subjects as young people or teach young people like yourselves these subjects, we are engaged in education. And the purpose of education is to help you understand where you are. To be a person who understands the world and who can live successfully in it. And so we talked about yesterday how when you learn language arts, you are learning that you live in a world of language and that you have to express your ideas. You have to think using ideas and express them through words and learn how to organize your thoughts through language arts. By learning science and math, you are learning that you live in a world where those things matter. We cannot have the technology that we have without science and math. So we create these amazing values thanks to having these. So we learn those too. And we learn great fiction in order to be inspired. We learn to look at beautiful art in order to open our eyes to how amazing the visual world is. And now, history. What about history? Especially ancient history. What is that going to tell us about the world we live in? I don't know if you've ever heard, you know, sometimes it's funny because when we talk about ancient history, you might have noticed or you might have heard grown-ups using ancient history as an expression sometimes. And this is a very sad reflection of what most people think about ancient history. Have you ever heard people maybe arguing or talking to each other, and then one person will answer the other and try to dismiss what they're saying, and this is how they will do it. They'll be talking, you know, and then say, yeah, but that's ancient history. Ever heard anybody say that? Use that expression? That's ancient history. Now, you may not have heard that, but I certainly have many times in my life. And the point of that expression, if somebody says to you, that's ancient history, especially with that tone, can you guess just from the tone what it is that they are saying? Let's suppose somebody is saying, if you're having an argument with somebody or you're having a discussion with somebody and they dismiss what you're saying by saying, that's ancient history. What are they saying? What would you understand them to mean? Rosetta, what do you think?
He doesn't care.
You mean that person doesn't care? Yeah, but why not? You're right, but why not? See, they're not saying I don't care. They're saying that's ancient history and therefore I don't care. OK, Okay, so how does it work? Why does the expression, that's ancient history, in some people's minds translate into, well, and therefore I don't care? Julia?
Because, like, it happened a long time ago, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, and that's a great answer. And I would just add one more word there. Anymore. Right? So it happened a long time ago, so it doesn't matter anymore. So the point is that if it happened a long time ago, it doesn't matter anymore. Okay? So this is a very common way of looking at history in general, in particular ancient history. Okay? And, well, I most certainly disagree with that point of view. I think that things that happened a long time ago can matter a great deal. And in fact, everybody in this group here right now does know some things that happened a long time ago that do matter. Those of you who have studied with American history with me, you'll be reminded of some of those things shortly. And then, you know, next week we're going to review some of them and you'll remember, oh yeah, that happened 200 years ago. Oh, that happened 1,000 years ago. You know, things like that. And you will be reminded of how those things still matter. And so I think that we can, as human beings, look back as far as possible, as far as we possibly can, and we will find things that matter. But it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. And so the question is, how can we look way, 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 way back, thousands of years even, and find something there that we think actually matters to us here and now? Okay? So the way that we do that is, we have the title of today's lecture, we have to make sure that we always know where we are first of all, and that we are looking back from where we are. And that way, we'll always have an ability to connect what we're learning back to where we are, here, now. Okay? So I'm going to show you an example of something like this to kind of get you thinking about what I mean here. This is hopefully going to be a fascinating little way to introduce you to the idea of always having to start in a certain place and knowing what that place is. How important it is to know where you are. We always kind of just take it for granted, right? But especially when we're studying history, we really need to know we are here and never, ever, ever forget it. Let me show you. I'm going to try to get to convince you of that fact here and get you in a certain mindset by giving you kind of a mystery to solve. Hopefully you're going to like it. So here it is. I'm going to share my screen with you and give you a mystery. Ooh, that's mysterious. So I want you to look at it closely and I want you to see if you can figure out what the heck this is. There are some shapes that are vaguely discernible in this image. Discernible means you can barely sort of see them. Can anybody make out anything on this map? Do you know what it is? You guess what it is? I see that we have some people that might be able to solve this mystery for us. Sigourney, is there something you can see on this map? Oh, wait a minute.
Are there a few countries on there? I just see countries. It looks like with marks around them.
Yeah, you know what? Mr. Powell kind of gave away the mystery by saying the word map. I wasn't supposed to say that word. But you know what? That was a good hint. And you said countries, Sigourney. What countries could you maybe tell people to look for on this, in this image?
I can't really see what countries.
Oh, you can't, but you're kind of guessing that they would be there. Well, actually, there is one very recognizable country in this image. So maybe Henry or Wyatt could tell us. Go ahead, guys.
Oh, I don't know anything else, but I know this is probably an old plague map.
Yes, indeed, indeed it is. So I'm going to show you guys now the key to this mysterious image, and then we'll figure out how this connects up with Mr. Powell's idea that we need to start studying history where we are. Okay, watch this. I'm going to draw on the map. Does anybody know what shape that is? I actually messed it up a bit. It had to go all the way to there. Does anybody know what shape that is? Haha, I knew you guys knew. Rosetta, go ahead.
Italy.
Okay. So if I remove the yellow from the boot of Italy, right? And over here, this triangular shape, that's Sicily. Okay. And it's harder to find some of these other ones, okay? But this would be the coast of Northern Africa. You're going to learn some geography maps as we go along this year. So you will recognize these places, okay? And then over here, we have something called the Black Sea. Okay, wait over here. And this over here with its strange shape is Greece. Okay, and it connects up to Italy. And then this is Corsica, where Napoleon was from. And this is an island called Sardinia. Hey, Mr. Powell knows geography. And this over here is France. So hopefully you guys know some of that stuff. And this is all water here. Okay, I'm going to erase this stuff that I just wrote, okay? Can you still see Italy now? Can you still see the general shape of the lines? Okay. Okay. Patrick, what did you want to say?
I can still see Italy, except not in yellow lines.
Yeah, no, of course not.
Word like.
Yeah, right. So, good. This is exactly the thing I want everybody to notice. Notice these strange markings. Can anybody guess what those strange markings are? So we had Wyatt or Henry was telling us about what kind of map this is. What are those markings, Julia?
They're writing.
Yes, indeed. And what do you suppose they're saying if this is a map?
Like maybe they're telling where in the world it is.
Yeah, right. Or... They're marking locations, right? So who knows what location is approximately here? Kind of halfway up the side of Italy. A fairly important city that we are going to study this year. Rosetta?
Rome?
Yeah, Rome, right? Would have been, is somewhere, actually, I think it's marked right there. If we were to, maybe we should try to zoom in. You want to try to zoom in? Let's see if we can see the word. Hey, yeah, there it is. Can you read it? Roma. Right there. Hope everybody can see that. There it is. Roma, with a kind of artistic R. Okay, that's really great, because you know what? We're gonna use that as our example today. So I'm gonna go back to the whole map. See Roma right there now? Okay, so Rome. Okay, so now, on this strange image, this mysterious image, we have locations that are marked. What is the other obvious thing that jumps out at us when we are trying to figure out this strange image? What do you see all over this thing that's kind of, well, it can be confusing at first, right? You're wondering, what are all of these scribbles, right? What's the other feature of this image other than these many, many written, you know, locations of things? Sigourney?
There are red and green lines all over.
Yeah, and what kind of lines?
It seems they're making squares and triangles?
Well, okay, right, but you didn't answer my question is too easy for you. They're straight lines, right? Perfectly straight lines. So, and then as you notice, yeah, they do tend to kind of combine in strange ways, right? But notice in particular, for instance, right here. What's going on right there? Somebody put a spot. And then there are lines going off in all directions from that spot. Same thing here, right? So there's strange combinations of things. Does anybody, now, Henry or Wyatt, I can't remember which one said, this is a chart for mariners, for navigation. Can anybody guess then what these lines are supposed to be, if that's the purpose of it. What do you need if you need to navigate on the oceans? What do you need to be able to do? Right? Especially when you're in the middle of the dark ocean. Julia?
Like, which way the wind blows?
Yes, but not just that. So you definitely need that, because otherwise you can't align your sails in the proper direction so you can take advantage of the wind. But you need to be able to do something even more basic. The direction of the wind is only one example of a basic thing you need to be able to do. What is that? Henry, Wyatt?
This is Wyatt here.
Yes?
You need to be able to... do your best to sail straight.
Yeah, and that's an example of going in a certain direction. What most important tool did sailors need in order to know what direction they were going? What is it that made it possible for the age of discovery? What's that tool called that you can hold in your hand and it will tell you what direction you are facing? Rosetta?
Compass,
yes, indeed. So what these are compass lines. This line right here, let me show you an example of one, right? This, I'm going to have to draw a straight line. This is a line that's going exactly what? What's at the top of our map here and what's at the bottom of our map? What kind of line is this? And here's another one. Straight, up, and down. Those lines, if you went all the way up to the limit of that line, where would you be? When you look on a globe, all of these lines go to the same place. Rosetta?
The North Pole.
Yeah, north, right? These are north-south lines. Okay, very good. And, well, let's do an example of another one here. What about this one? Completely perpendicular. What directions do those lines point, Patrick?
East, west.
East and west, right? Okay. And then, you know, when you're making maps, you have special other lines, right? What's this one at 45 degrees from that? It's right in between, right? That one points northeast and southwest, and so on. Okay? I'm going to remove my yellow lines because they're kind of making it a little bit messy. Okay, but now notice that the lines are pointing in certain basic directions. So, here's the nature of this. This is called a Portolan chart. It gets its name from the ports that people wanted to sail from one port to another, literally. Okay, so it's called a Portolan chart. And so the way that you would use it, if you were leaving Roma, right? So we know where Roma is. Roma's right there. We labeled it already. Okay? In this chart, what you would want to do is head out to sea. And this is obviously a really, really crucial reference point. And then you would use your compass. And you would say, well, of course, you would head away from Rome using your compass. Right, using this line right here. There's a line that goes from Rome to this spot. So you would get to this spot, and then you would use this, and you would say, okay, I want my compass to point, let's say. Here, let me give you an example here. I'm going to actually annotate this again. Right? Okay, so we're heading to this spot from Roma. So I'm going to draw here as a sailor. I'm going to use this chart, and I'm going to go there. And then notice what happens once I go there, right? Let's say I want to go to this place over here in Africa because it's actually a very important port over here. Okay, so I'm in Roma and I want to go to that place over there. Well, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to this place and then I'm going to chart a course using my compass, and I know that it takes me that in that direction. It's that far to go, okay? And perhaps, you know, later on, I should probably not put that one, right? But I'll use my compass to get me to the place where I want to go, all right? So now here's how this is connected to what we're going to do today, right? If you were a sailor, You had a place that you were, and a place that you wanted to go. And how would you use the chart? Give me a kind of just basic answer to how would you use a chart like this, right? What do you have to start with? If you're going to be able to use a chart like this as a sailor, what's the first thing that you need to do? First thing. We've been talking about it for 3 days. What's the first thing that you need to find if you're going to use this chart? Julia?
Where you are.
Where you are. Okay. This is Mr. Powell's theme for the week, right? The first thing you need to do is, where am I? Okay. Here I am. I'm in Roma. Okay. And then if you're going to use this chart, well, you're going to say, okay, well, where am I trying to go? Now, this place over here was called Carthage, or today it's called Tunis. So it doesn't, okay, I want to go there because there's a lot of people there that I want to trade with. Okay, so what you would do then is you would say, okay, I'm here, I want to go here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my port-a-land chart to help me get there. I'm going to sail away from Rome until for a certain distance at a certain heading. That gets me here. Then I'll change course and I'll go in this direction according to my chart. And it tells me that if I sail in this direction at a certain speed, I will get to this point at a certain time. Even if I can't see anything, there's no land over here. I can't see anything, but I'm still going to know where I am. And then I will get this far and I will turn to the right a little bit. By that time, I'll probably be able to see land anyway, right? And then I'll be able to get to the place where I want to go. Okay? So this is a navigational chart. Julia, go ahead.
What are the little red and green dots kind of in the middle?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm not quite sure. So I don't know if the pen was leaking ink or something else. I don't know. There do seem to be a heck of a lot of them over here in the Aegean Sea. It's called around Greece, and a lot of them over here as well. So they might be marking specific locations that these merchants are particularly interested in. I don't know, right? Okay, but here's the basic thing. In order to get anywhere and to get back home, the sailor or the mariner or the navigator needed to start in a certain place and know where to go from there and then know how to get back. And this is what we need to be able to do with history as well. We need to know where we are in order to strike out into the past in the right way, and then be able to get back to where we are every time when we're learning historical facts. Okay, so we're going to do that by creating a kind of historical port-a-land chart. We're going to be navigators into the ocean of history. That's my metaphor. That's my metaphor for history. History is like a giant ocean of facts. And it's very easy to get stuck in that ocean without sight of land and not know where you are and not know how to get anywhere that matters. And that's how most people feel when they are studying history, is they feel like they get into material that's about something that happened a long, long time ago to other people in another place. And then they get kind of frustrated because they don't know how to get back home, which just means they don't know how to make a connection between the old ancient times and other people in other places and themselves. They don't know how to get back to where they are. Okay, so we're going to make a kind of port-a-land chart for ourselves so that we can always find our way home. And we're going to start with, you know, modern maps always have this kind of symbol on them, right? You guys have probably used smartphones before or seen, you know, your parents navigating Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever to get someplace, right? And the first thing that you need to do if you want directions to get any place is tap the screen and it says, you are here, right? And then you say where you want to go, and then the computer figures out the path that you're going to drive on. Right, so we're going to start again in Roma. Well, and today, of course, our Roma is wherever we happen to be, right? We're all living in the same world today, all connected. We're all in different places right now, but we're all talking together, right? So we're all in this interconnected world together now at this time, right? This is the year that we're going to be studying, starting in 2015 and 2016. Okay, so this is where we're going to start, and we're going to create a kind of portal-land chart of history to be able to always get back home. And you've seen this kind of chart before, this one is going to be different than any other that you've looked at before in some ways. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to put ourselves at the far, far right end of it. Right? And we're going to put our line. On our portal land chart, there's not going to be too many lines going off in all directions, but there's one line absolutely that we need to have, and that line is a past-present line. That's like having a north-south line for history. It's a past-present line. It's the most important line that you need in order to connect where you are to anything that happened in the past. Okay? And then, unlike on some of those portal-land charts, we're going to be even more precise. The portal-land charts, by the way, I'll show you something about them. I'm going to bring it back up because you're going to notice a difference here between what we do and what they used to do. These charts are quite mysterious in a way, right? Notice that if you wanted to go from here to here, there's just a line. But what would you need to know in addition to the direction if you actually wanted to go from one place to another? You don't just need to know what direction it is. What else do you need to know? It's very important. If you want to get from one place to another. Such as Columbus getting from Europe to America. What do you need to know, Julia?
Where it is?
Yeah, well, I'll put that in a different way. How far? Right? Because you got the direction, but what if it's a million miles? Then you're never going to get there. Right? So you need to know not just the direction, but how far it is. How come none of the distances are marked on here? Does anybody know? That seems like kind of a mysterious thing. If you had this chart, could you really get where you wanted to go? If you didn't know what the distances were? Rosetta, what do you think? Why aren't the distances marked on here? Does anybody know? I'll tell you guys. It was the distances were secret. Anybody know why? The distances were secret because if you wanted to make a lot of money and you knew how to get someplace, you didn't want your competitors to know how to get there too. You didn't want somebody else getting there before you. You didn't want it to make it easier for other people, especially for sailors from other countries, to steal your maps and use them to compete against you. So the mariners also had books that had special tables in them with values and numbers. And it would say, okay, when you get to this spot and you want to go in that direction, well, it's going to be this far traveling at this speed and so on. And a lot of it was very secret because they didn't want people to know. Well, our portal land chart is not going to be a secret. I'm not going to do that to you guys. I'm going to make it easy for you guys to know how much there is to know this year right up front. So our portal land chart is going to have, well, you could call it distances, but in terms of history, of course, we have time measurements. Our portal land chart is going to have time measurements on it, always. I'm always going to make it easy for you to know how far away something is from you. Historians do that pretty well, and that's very simple. It's by telling you when things happened. And so we're going to mark the timeline. Now, I bet everybody here is pretty much an expert on how a timeline like this works. But who can explain to the group here why this ruler, kind of has the strange measurements that it does? It is a little bit strange. For instance, notice that the numbers over here have a symbol called AD on them. And then they go down in this direction. Strange. Until they reach zero. Ooh, wait a minute. And then they get bigger again with the symbol BC afterwards. So, I know, probably most of you guys know this already. So that's the first thing we got to get oriented to in terms of distances in history. So Patrick, tell me why the ruler works this way, our historical chart works this way. Go ahead.
AD.
Yes?
Anno Domini.
Ooh, Anno Domini is a Latin expression, very good. And who here knows what that means? Anno Domini. It's not English. It's an expression.
Latin?
It is very good, Patrick. It's from the Latin language, which is what they used to speak in Rome. So that was a good choice to use Rome in our example. And so it means in the year of our Lord. I'm going to find out why it is that the calendar has that kind of notation in it. And then it's connected to the BC part. So what is the BC part? That's easier because it's English. So what is the BC part of the ruler? Rosetta?
Before Christ.
Before Christ. Okay, so what we're going to have to do when we return to this chart, and actually you're going to see we're going to have a lot of fun kind of filling it in. We're going to have to figure out what's the relationship between the BC part and the AD part. I know most of you know it, but we're going to start filling it in and in a new way starting on Monday. And you'll see that this will be how we can make sure that the stuff we study way, way, way in the past is always connected to us. We'll always be able to trace back how it's connected to where we are. We'll always be able to find our way back to where we are. Okay? So when we get to the end, you'll see. Let's see. Do I have the end to show you just for fun? I can show you kind of what the end looks like here, just so you can be motivated here. The end looks something like this. Ooh. Okay. I'm not going to let you look too much at that because you'll get too excited. Okay. Anyway, so we'll get to that on Monday. Now, here's what I think most of you guys know. Tomorrow we have a special class. Tomorrow we have a special class that's called History Through Art. So we take a little bit of a break from the story and the stuff that we're studying here, and we look at a painting that tells us something interesting about this past that we are studying as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So I look forward to that. Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the mystery of the Portolan chart, and you'll see more and more how we're going to fill in our own chart that will connect the places we want to go in the past to where we are now, and so we'll always be able to know the connection between past and present. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.